here this morning. Hey, on the chair right by the offering box is a little brochure I brought for you. How to minister to hurting people. How to minister to hurting people. Some good things here. There's some things you should say, and there's some things you should never say and never do. So here's some things right here on how to minister to hurting people. We all know hurting people, and this will be a help and a blessing to you. Let's all write old Don a letter this week. Let's overwhelm, let's love bomb him with letters this week, and maybe he'll, you know, be with it enough to comprehend and get a blessing out of that. I saw on Facebook a little slide that says, I want to be with Paul on the road to Damascus. Amen. Damascus. So I like this service right here, and I'm going to burn this sucker just as soon as possible. Amen. But, you know, some places, if you're going in, you got to have the thing, right? But anyhow, when I was growing up in Southside, Virginia, my parents would talk about somebody being fretted. Fretted. That was somebody that was upset, disgruntled, agitated, bothered about the way somebody was treating them, irritated, fretted. How many ever heard that phrase, fretted? Or talk about somebody fretting. Now, this is a Virginia word because other places, they never heard of this. But it's a Bible word. And I want you to take your Bible and turn over to Psalm chapter 37. I want to talk to you about the fret not formula. The fret not formula. Psalm chapter 37. And here in three different verses, we are commanded to fret not. Psalm chapter 37, verse 1. Psalm chapter 37, verse 1. If Pastor Boone is watching Facebook, we want to see some evidence with photographs and no photoshopping. And send pictures of fish, especially with the fish. We want to see the fish and the evidence of this hunting trip. And we're trusting they'll have a great time out there. So let's stand to our feet. Psalm chapter 37, verse 1. Let's read out loud together, real loud. Psalm 37, verse 1. Together. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now notice, before you're seated, the Bible says don't fret yourself because of evildoers. The word wicked and evildoers shows up 16 times in Psalm chapter 37. And there's nothing different today. There's plenty of evildoers. There's plenty of wicked people. But the Bible says don't be upset because of evildoers. Let me ask you, do you resent unsaved people? Do you have animosity in your heart? Do you ever entertain thoughts in your heart for somebody else's downfall? And the Bible says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Let's look at two more verses and then you can be seated. Look in verse 7. Verse 7. Notice what it says. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now read the rest of it out loud with me, please. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. The Bible says don't fret because of a man advancing an evil plan. Let me ask you, do you resent ungodly people who are doing better financially than you? The Bible says don't you fret yourself because of him who's prospering in his way. And then verse 8, I'll read this verse out loud. Cease from anger. Let's read together verse 8. Let me see if I got this. Sake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. In other words, stop planning retaliation. Stop planning. Three times we're commanded to not fret. So I want to give you the fret not formula. Lord, would you have a word in season for every heart? Would you bless the preacher and those traveling? And Father, bring them home safe. God, thank you now for helping us this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray with expectation. All God's people say it. You can be seated. Now let me ask you, are you mad about something this morning? Are you angry with somebody this morning? I know people who are angry with their spouses. I know some angry with their children. Some angry with parents. Some people angry with spiritual leaders. Some people angry with political leaders. I mean, you think that's a justifiable... angry with their employer. Angry with neighbors. Angry with the person who cheated them. I know people who are angry with God because God's not doing what they think he ought to be doing. But three times here in this scripture, this chapter, we are told to fret not because of evildoers. Fret not because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. The word fret means to glow. It means to blaze up, to seethe with anger. It's a, kind of like to simmer, to fume, a slow boil, to be displeased. I ask you, what are you mad about this morning? Who has hurt you? Who's betrayed you? Who's abandoned you? Who's wronged you? You know, if you're living, reliving injustices, you're not going to be a happy person. And replaying wrongs and injustices in our minds will cause us to fret, that is to burn with rage. The word fret means to glow, and it's not a holy glow. I burned the brush pile yesterday afternoon, started around 1 o'clock, went out last night around 10 o'clock, and buddy, that thing was still simmering, man. It's still kind of burning. It's not a big blaze, but it's down to the small part. And you know something? This idea of glowing, of simmering, it's kind of like when you got a pot on the stove. You cut the heat down. It's not boiling hard, but you got the lid halfway off, and it's just kind of simmering. And that's what the word fret means. It means to simmer, to glow, to steam. Now, it's a natural reaction to simmer, to roll stuff over in our minds, to try to sort things out. But I'm telling you, if you are a persistent fretter, it overwhelms your thinking. That's all you can think about. It makes you incapable of worship. It makes it impossible to pray. And the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now let me say this. Fretting does not please God. Say that out loud. Fretting does not please God. Fretting brings you no pleasure. And fretting makes you miserable to be around. I'm telling you, people who are consistently angry and fretting and boiling and simmering and seething, just repeating this stuff. Now, how many of you here have ever considered your options for retaliation when you've been wrong? You're thinking about the options. And I'm the kind of person that I could have been a lawyer because I can prepare a legal brief in my mind of what was done and how to say things. And I got my speech all in my heart. I got my speech ready to go. Because why? I'm fretting. I'm planning my retaliation, thinking of ways to get back at the people who have hurt us. Now, fretting is a form of bitterness that will eat you alive. It destroys your peace, your fruitfulness, and your worship and prayer. Fretting, simmering, boiling can lead to an explosion on people who did you no wrong. Somebody said, if your wound is not healed, you will bleed on people who did not cut you. Just blow it up on people. I was telling in the early service, I had a relative one time, and she was fretting all the time. She was an old maid. There's reasons for that. And she blew up on this widow woman that was a storekeeper. But no, nothing had happened. Just blew up. Well, why? Because she just boiled over on somebody that had done her no wrong. Now, habitual fretting can become a way of life. Everybody frets on occasion, but you can't afford to indulge this sin. You've got to get rid of it. Now, the Bible says here, fret not, fret not, fret not. Three times. How many think that God's trying to get a message over here? What is it? Stop fretting. Fret not. So here's the fret not formula right from the text. Notice, if you would, in verse 8. The Bible says, cease from anger and forsake wrath, for fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. How many know that anger is a human emotion that God put into us? I want to tell you something. Being upset is not a sin, but responding with continued anger and fretting is. We're doing a remodel in our house. We are remodeling the bathroom. The tub is on the third postponement for delivery here in America. And we're doing some painting. So I decided to paint my front door. This was a bad decision. So I'm out there. I got the little step ladder, and I'm up there painting, you know. And no wonder painters are drunks. I mean, I think I would become a drunk if I had to do this for a living. I mean, wow. And I'm up there, and the paint bucket, gravity caught the paint bucket. When I hit, And down it goes on the concrete, splashes all over the site. Guess what? I was angry. I was so angry, I took the bucket with what little paint was in it and threw it in the yard. I was so angry, I took the stepladder and threw that in the yard. I was so angry, I was saying stuff and thinking worse. I mean, I know y'all would never do something like that, but I had words come up in my mind, and I didn't say them, I don't think. But I was angry about this situation. Now, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Now, look, when stuff like this happens, the natural thing is to get it, but you can't stay angry. And the Bible says, cease from anger. You can control your anger. You can control your anger. You say, well, I just can't control mine. Well, sure you can. I mean, here you're having a World War III in your house, and somebody knocks on the door, and lo and behold, it's Pastor Boone out there smiling, and immediately your scowl is transformed into a big smile on your face. Welcome, Pastor. Come on in the house. You can control your anger. Depending on who you're around, you can control your anger. I'm just telling you, cease from anger. You can choose to do this. Now, listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 14, he that is soon angry deals foolishly. He that is soon angry throws the paint bucket. He that is soon angry throws the stepladder. He that is soon angry does not respond favorably when his wife comes out on the porch and sees the mess. He that is soon angry deals foolishly. Can anybody relate to this? Am I the only carnal sucker in the whole house? He that is angry deals foolishly. The fool utters all his mind. You know, when you blow a gasket, you're likely to speak stuff that you can't take back. Cease from anger. Now, what are you mad about? What are you mad about? Who ripped you off this week? What company in Roanoke took advantage of you? What insurance company is trying to beat you out of something? What warranty didn't come through? I mean, just, what are you mad about? Listen to this. Swallowing angry words before you say them is better than having to eat them afterwards. And let me tell you something. People who swallow their words never ask for second helpings. It's just not pleasant. It's just not pleasant. If you bite your tongue on occasion, you'll be glad you did. Now, listen, change your focus, change your feelings. You say, well, how am I supposed to get over anger? Well, cease from anger. The Bible doesn't say don't get angry. The Bible says be angry and sin not. So don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. You've got to make a conscious decision to stop churning those thoughts in your mind. I mean, some of us are obsessive. We get something in our mind and that's all we can think about. Wouldn't you like to get obsessed on the right thing instead of the wrong thing? I mean, really, when your anger gets the best of you, the worst part of you is going to come out. And I'm just telling you, it can happen. Entertaining anger gives place to the devil. It starts out with a toehold. It can go to a foothold. It can lead to a stronghold, and then it can turn into a stranglehold. You ever get around people and they're angry all the time? Every time you see them, they're talking about what's wrong. Every time you talk about them, they're talking about what the Democrats are doing or what whoever's doing. They're talking about all this kind of stuff, and they're just obsessing on stuff, and they're perennially angry. I'm telling you, anger can control your life, and that's not where you want to be. You got to quit talking about your hurt to other people. Quit talking about your hurt. You don't need to be rehearsing what happened 30 years ago. Get over it in Jesus' name. Deal with it, man, and confront the thing. But listen, if you want to get something out of your mind, you got to get it out of your mouth. Because your mouth keeps it going. And after you've talked through it a time or two, that's enough. You need to leave that thing to rest. You need to have a funeral for that. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Forsake wrath. Now, how do you cease from anger? Well, number one, you got to admit you're mad. Be honest. I'm mad. Don't fake it. Don't try to, well, I'm just going to. No, just admit you're mad. Look, when you've then thrown the paint bucket in the yard and you've then thrown that stepladder in the yard, just go ahead and admit it. And don't say, Lord, help me not to be angry. What a stupid prayer. Lord, I am angry. Hey, anybody with me right here? I like honest people. That's why I like children. They tell you the truth. They tell you what you think. I was in a place one time. I had a sinus infection. The kid said, you got bad breath. But you know where they stand, you know? I mean, just honest. And you know, when you're honest with God, people When you're honest with God, I'm just telling you, that's the place to start. Confess your sin to God. Admit your wrath. I'm upset here. And admit it, quit it, and forget it. He that covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes will have mercy. Admit it, confess it, quit it, forsake it, and shall have mercy, forget it. And I'm just telling you, we got to learn the way of quick recovery. Now, if you want to put things out of your mind, then you get it out of your mouth, and then you put the Word of God into your mind. Find some verse that can help you. Staying mad is unhealthy. It's unproductive. It's self-inflicted punishment. It will raise your blood pressure. How many got high blood pressure other than me? Will it make it even worse? And it doesn't solve the problem. Can I tell you, you don't have to stay mad. You might get mad, and you're not responsible for the injustices that got perpetrated upon you, but you're entirely responsible for how you respond to those things. And the Bible says, cease from anger. How many think that when the Bible says do something, there's power to do it? Do you believe that? Well, it's impossible. I'm only human. What kind of a stupid song is that? You're more than a conqueror through Christ that loved you. I mean, where in the world is the victory message in conservative churches anyway? Where in the world is the victory message? You know, if you want to get a motivational sermon, you could pretty much got to go to a Pentecostal church somewhere to get motivated. That is not right. Brother, I'm telling you, we need some conviction to deal with our sin. Then we need some confession to get cleansed. And then we need some put off and put on and start rejoicing and find some joy in the Lord. Anybody with me on this morning right here? So cease from anger and sin not. Number two, here's the second thing. Commit your way to the Lord. All right, fret not formula. Stop being mad. Number two, commit your way to the Lord. Look in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Commit your way to God. Commit means that you take the incident and you roll that burden on the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will carry you through. Now, how many remember, by the way, we had our house reshingled last summer. How many remember when Americans shingled their own houses and not Mexicans? Does anybody remember this? And the guy brought in 10 Mexicans, started at 8:30. By 2:30, they had taken the shingles off and replaced the shingles on my house, garage, and warehouse by 2:30. Amazing. But in the old days, our guys would do their own houses or get their wives to work on the roof. I heard about a guy one time. He's out there standing by the ladder, had his wife up on the roof, working on the roof. And guy came over and said, man, what are you doing? I got your wife up on the roof. He said, well, I held the ladder for her. What a sorry outfit. But you know, back in the old days, a guy would get a bundle of shingles on his shoulder, right? Climb up the ladder, right? And then hand the bundle off to the guy on the roof. The guy on the roof would take the bundle, put it on the pinnacle, and he'd go down and get another one. That's what it means. Hand your burden off to the Lord. Roll your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. So you got to commit your way. You got to commit your way to the Lord. Now, fretting chokes out the life of God. You know, shouldering burdens will rob you of joy, sleep, usefulness, and energy. The thief only comes to kill and destroy. Fretting is inward anger. It's inward anger. It's an unnecessary burden. Now, consider David with what he went through. Saul was trying to kill him. I mean, the king was trying to kill him. His boss was trying to kill him. Now, Saul was wrong. Saul was jealous. Saul was enraged. He tried to kill David with a javelin. But David refused to come against the Lord's anointed. This is amazing. So David played his harp, soothed Saul's mind and emotions. He did right, even though he had been wrong. You know what he did? He rolled his burden on the Lord. Amazing. And if he did it, we can too. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Now, the trick is to leave it there. And we got to quit picking it up. So commit your way to the Lord. Cease from anger. Point three on the fret not formula is trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Look in verse 5. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust in the Lord. What does that mean? You know, I got a bad diagnosis, and my wife, you know, her answer for everything is, just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. Yeah. Okay. Could you give me some assistance on how to go about that? But that's what the scripture says. Trust the Lord. Now look, faith is confidence in God. Faith is confidence in God. Unbelief is confidence in something other than God. Faith is confidence in God. Trust the Lord. Once you've attempted to get justice and failed, hand your case over to the Lord. Let God sort it out. It's no longer your responsibility to bring revenge on your offender. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. So the vengeance part's out of our hands. Anybody with me on this point right here? Anybody here ever advise God on how he might want to take a little more speedy vengeance on some situation? We know of a church that turned into an abusive cult. And how many know that just because you start out good don't mean you're going to end up good? And I got upset because of all the abuse and hurt that was going on. And I just was thinking, Lord, you know, I believe I would put an end to this sooner rather than later. So here I'm giving God advice. Guess what? God didn't take my advice. Now, he ultimately shut that place down, but it didn't happen like that. And sometimes God's not working on our timetable, and we need to get on his. Anybody with me on this point right here? Now, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Now, listen, hand your case over to God. Quit speculating about the prosperity of the wicked. Man, I'm working day and night, and, you know, I'm unnecessary. And the bureaucrats are all necessary. They ain't lost nothing, and they impose no. And if you don't want, you can work yourself up into a lather. I'm just telling you. Well, stop speculating. It's not God, our business, how God wants to respond to our offenders. The Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The word rest means to be still and be silent. You know what I find myself doing a lot? I'm talking to somebody, and they're talking about something, and here's what I do. And I keep my trap shut for a change. That's an improvement. Trust me. And then I say, what a model of self-will. Did you notice how I didn't say anything? So I'm full of pride. But the point being, be silent. Be still. Wait patiently on him. Stop replaying the past in your mind. Stop being rattled. Stop rehearsing your hurt. You done been over it enough. And by the way, after you've been over once or twice, that's enough. Stop rehearsing your hurt. Be still. Be calm. There was a missionary one time trying to translate the scripture for this people group, but in their language, he couldn't come up with an equivalent word for the word faith. So he was stumped. He didn't know what word to use. So here was this national who had been running for hours and miles and came into the missionary's house and flopped himself into the chair, absolutely exhausted. He just dumped himself in the chair, and the national said, I'm resting all my weight on this chair. I'm resting all my weight on this chair. And the missionary knew he had the word for faith. Resting all our weight upon him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Trust the Lord. Now, the Bible says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Stop leaning on your own understanding. By the way, our human reasonings, we have them, but I'm just telling you, the Bible says be still. The Bible says be silent. The Bible says quit rehearsing all this mess. The Bible says trust the Lord, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think. All right, number three, trust the Lord. Number four, the fret not formula, put away evil. Put away evil. Fretting is evil. Well, they ripped me off. That's evil. Yeah. No, we're not saying it's not. But fretting in response is equally evil. Do what you can to get justice, but when you can't, then it comes to this. Put away evil. Verse 27 says, depart from evil and do good. Depart from evil. Run from evil and do good. Fretting is evil. Instead of doing evil, start doing good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Don't render evil for evil. Cease from evil and do good. Ever follow that which is good. Now look at some of these positive alternatives to fretting. Verse 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Put away evil. Don't return evil for evil. Stop fretting. Rejoice evermore. I'm going with the happy Christian crowd, okay? I'm going to have to go with the happy Christian crowd. I'm just telling you, this long-faced. Some churches, every time you go in the house, all you hear about is how depraved you are, how wicked your heart is. Man, what a miserable sinner you are. Well, of course, in the flesh, unregenerate, we are nothing but. But if you get born again, you're no longer a sinner. You're a saint in the eyes of God. I mean, why in the world can't we find some joy? And instead of talking about all this theology of depravity, why don't we get over to the theology of victory after God has saved us by his grace? Say amen on that point right there. Like, rejoice evermore. Now, these boys did a good job singing this morning. Oh, wonderful. Well, there he is. Hey, y'all done good. Well, wonderful. Well, identify the songs that lift your spirit, that magnify God, that elevate your mood. Man, I know what floats my boat. I know where to get a hold of it. And buddy, when I'm in a pit, I'll get out of my sunroom and I'll get on my telephone and I know where to go. I know what I like, and what you like might be different. It don't make any difference. Just whatever lifts your heart, rejoice in the Lord. There's a song I've been listening to by Grace Brumley, and it's called Rejoice in the Lord. Man alive, it's about three songs in one, and praise God, I just can't help but getting happy. Rejoice evermore. Listen to this instead of fretting. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And start giving thanks for what you say. Well, I lost such and such. Well, thank God for what you got left. Well, I messed up. Well, you could have messed up worse than you did. Thank God you didn't do any worse than you did. I mean, not only thank God for forgiving you the sins you committed, thank God for the sins you didn't commit. I mean, you're glad you didn't commit some sins, amen? You didn't fail on everything, praise God. I mean, think on that for a while. In everything, give thanks. I mean, just have a grateful heart. Quench not the spirit. So we put away evil. We start doing good. It's the replacement principle. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4. Put off concerning the former behavior, the former conversation. Put off the old man and put on the new man. Put away lying. Start speaking truth. So you put off the old man, you put on the new man, which is Christ. You stop your lying and you start speaking the truth. Stop being a deadbeat and start working. That's what the Bible says. Put off. And put on. Put away evil, start doing good. Now look, when you take something out, you got to put something back. You wind up like that guy that got the demon cast out and didn't put anything back. And here the demon shows up and brings seven spirits more wicked than himself. He was worse off. So when you take off something, when you stop something, you got to start something. Now, when you return evil for evil, you're doing the same thing your offender did to you. And the Bible says, put off and put on. Put away and put on. Jesus said, love your enemies. Listen to this. Bless them that curse you. Hey, when Christianity becomes a felony, are you still going to come to church? That will happen in this country. You understand that, don't you? That will happen. When serving God is against the law, when the church has to go underground, we'll find out who the church really is. We're getting a preview right now. And I'm telling you, you're talking about a falling away. I mean, we never dreamed these kind of things would happen. So what does the Bible say? When you get upset, just indulge in Sean Hannity night and day. Just night and day. Just listen to the news night and day. And when Northern comes on with a speech, throw the paint bucket at the television set. And here we are. And I can't stand to listen. I'm so unspiritual, I get upset. So I can't afford to listen to this kind of stuff. Now listen to me. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good unto them that hate you. You know, our country is full of hate. And by the way, it ain't the right-wing fundamentalists full of hate no more. I'm just telling you, it's the other kind of full of hate. But listen to this. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Ooh. So what we got to understand, dear people, is that politics is always downstream from the culture. And the fact that we've got all this going on indicates where our culture is at. Our culture is farther down the road than we ever dreamed. It's becoming apparent right now. So what are we going to do? Be upset and put on a sidewinder and go to the rally? I mean, what are we going to do? Well, you better start blessing those that curse you. You better start loving your enemy. That's what Jesus said. All right, that's Jesus' method of revenge. Now, look, you vote and do what you can, but I'm just here to tell you, if you've got confidence in a political party to save America, you are crazy. And I'm talking about either one of them. You are crazy. You are absolutely. We're kingdom citizens. We better get on that right there, or we're going to be upset all the time. Is anybody with me on this point right here? Now, listen, we do what we can. We be good. We try to win people to Jesus, all of this kind of stuff. But I'm just here to tell you, brother, we're going to have to depart from evil and start doing good. Now, listen, fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Point five on the fret not formula, find your delight in God. Find your delight in God. Look in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll implant his desires for you in his heart. You can navigate the will of God through your sanctified desires. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, what you want is what God wants. That's what I believe. Delight yourself in the Lord. He gives you the desires, and if he gives you the desires, he's going to fulfill the desires so you can want, you know, you when you're right with God, pay attention to your sanctified desires. Are you with me on this right here? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, let me just say this, that God is the happiest person in the entire universe because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Heaven is a happy place. It's not a sad place, a happy place. After the judgment seat, it's all beautiful from there on out. All right, it's going to be great. But listen to this. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So if God is such a happy God, and in his presence there's fullness of joy, then that's where we want to be. Delight yourself in the Lord. Find your happiness in God. Find your joy in the Lord. How do you do that? Count your blessings instead of counting your bruises. Yeah, that paint stain on the concrete. Well, who cares about the paint stain on the concrete? Ain't gonna make no difference. I mean, ain't nobody gonna come over to our house and what happened right here? Nobody's gonna know it but me. So what am I? I don't need to be upset about it. I'm over it, by the way. I'm just using this as an illustration, all right? And for the weak brethren who throw the paint bucket, I'm using this illustration so you can get a little victory like me. All right, so count your blessings. Think about your benefits. I mean, you got any benefits? I got a backhoe. It's leaking again. Leaking again. But you know what? I can put hydraulic fluid in it and use it. Thank God I got a backhoe. Instead of focusing on, man, I got a backhoe with a leak. No. I got a backhoe that will work when I put more fluid in it. Count your benefits. Don't count your bruises. Quit counting your losses. Thank God for whatever you got left. Anybody got anything left? We all suffer loss in life. Hallelujah for whatever we got left. I'm just telling you. Praise God for your advantages. Instead of dwelling on the negative, dwell on the positive for crying out loud. I like this song. I've had more gains than losses. I've known more joy than hurt. And his grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. Boy, I like that song. Yeah. Setbacks, you better believe it. Mess ups, of course. Paint bucket in the front yard, so what? Thank God there's forgiveness with God that he may be feared. I mean, you got to talk to yourself. Quit listening to your old selfish heart and start talking to your selfish heart and tell her where to get off. And tell yourself to rejoice in the Lord, to count your advantages. Delight in God's goodness. The Lord knows the days of the upright and their inheritance shall be forever. Wow. And now think on this right here. Delight in the goodness of God. Find your joy in the Lord. And think about this. In heaven, no concussions, no car wrecks, no Crohn's disease, no cancer, no sorrow, no funeral, no arthritis, no hand braces, praise God, no handicaps, no hospitals, none of this. So our inheritance is going to be forever, praise God. That sounds like a deal to me. That sounds like something to rejoice about, that our names are written in the book of life, thank God. And one day we're going to leave all this. So half y'all going to have surgery this week, sound like to me. Well, there ain't going to be no surgery in heaven, right? I mean, we won't need that anymore. Won't that be a blessing? Listen, your inheritance shall be forever. Focus on the goodness of God. Now, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Can anybody here relate to fretting? Can anybody here relate to fretting? Is anybody tired of this bondage? You ever get sick of this? You just get tired of going over the same old things over and over? Well, if you want to get beyond your fretting, get preoccupied with the goodness of God. Delight yourself in the Lord. Let the high praises of God fill your mouth. Find some of those songs that's going to float your boat and lift your spirit. Turn them things on. Don't listen to the Four Tops and the Temptations. You do that when you're backslid. But turn on the stuff that helps you, that blesses you, that lifts you, that ministers to you. Now listen to me. Get happy in God. There's a book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. That's the title. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. It's all small stuff. And so here's the idea. The stuff that troubles you now will not be a thought in eternity. In fact, most of the stuff that bothers us now won't make any difference in 2 years, won't make any difference in 5 years, it won't make any difference in 10 years. Nothing's going to make any difference in 70 years. So if it ain't going to make any difference then, why should it make a big difference now? Don't sweat the small stuff. So when you spill the paint on your porch, and it flies up on your siding, instead of, well, maybe just throw the bucket or the ladder. Don't throw both, okay? And instead of saying stuff, just let it be a thought. And realize, say this to yourself. You know, 5 years, this ain't going to make any difference. Okay, if it ain't going to make any difference in 5 years, it shouldn't make a big deal right now. And that's the way you got to look at it. Everything's temporary, amen? You got to flex. You know, we had to change our student prayer advance 3 times. We had to move from Appalachian to a camp in West Virginia. Then the governor in West Virginia put a restriction on the group size of 25. We had to come back to Virginia. Can you believe Virginia was more lenient than West Virginia? Can you believe that? And then so we've changed it 3 times. And I said, we're going to have it one way. And by the way, ladies, we're going to have the ladies' prayer advance somehow, some way, some form. We're going to have that thing September 24th through 26th. We're going to have that thing. But you know, before the student prayer advance, the day before, we got a text from the speaker. He had come down with COVID, and he couldn't come. Now, we've learned to flex. Amen. We got to learn how to flex. Are you with me? So when we found out the speaker wasn't coming, no big deal. What else is going to go wrong? I mean, we're used to this by now. And so no big deal. Lord, what would you have us do? And we had to. In other words, instead of being all tore all to pieces about everything that goes wrong, and if you're one of those rigid people that's got to have everything, you're going to have to learn how to flex, amen? You're going to have to learn how to lighten up a little bit and find a little delight in God and just believe God to work the thing out when you've done everything you can in your life. We need to realize. Anybody with me on this point right here? Quit fretting all the time. Quit being upset about stuff all the time. Now, listen, the fret not formula. Get over your anger. Cease from anger. Deal with it. Don't deny it. And don't hit the wall. Just deal with the thing. Admit it. Get over it. Have a quick recovery. Commit your way to the Lord. Intentional commitment. Okay, God, I'm committing my way unto you. You know, after you've done everything in some situations and there ain't nothing else for you to do or say, you just got to turn that thing over to the Lord. And that comes with burdens in your family, by the way. People, it's broken your heart. You just got to deal with it that way. Commit your way to the Lord. Number 3, trust the Lord. Put your confidence in God. Number 4, cease from evil and start doing good. Instead of having a self-pity party, write Don Jones a letter. But how many is better off than Don Jones laying up in a nursing home for 6 months and can't even see nobody? So we're doing pretty good. We showed up at church this morning, amen? So let's try to do something for him and for the other people in your church here that's going to surgery this week. Man, let's call them up. Send them some flowers. Take them dinner. Take them Chick-fil-A. paint their door, do something. I mean, just do something for crying out loud. Start doing some good for somebody. One of my goals is to encourage as many people as I can, as long as I'm down here on earth. I have goals to encourage as many people as possible. And I'll tell you what, that's a worthy thing. So depart from evil and do good. Delight in God. Now here's the deal. God wants the atmosphere in your heart. By the way, what about that oppressive humidity and heat? I felt like I was in New Orleans. I felt like I was in New Orleans. It's just the atmosphere was oppressive. Did you know God wants the atmosphere in your heart and in your home and in your church to be an atmosphere of peace? You can work at this, and you're going to have to quit fretting if it's going to be. Fret not. Get over this stuff. God wants you to have a happy heart. God wants your home to be a happy place. We had most of our children over last night and grandchildren. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them had Ron Lynch in our home for the night. And we just over there having a big time, having a party. We sang before we ate. They're singing songs. I'm the song leader. So they sing loud to cover me up. And God wants your home to be a happy place. And can I say something to you? God wants Valley View Baptist Church to be the most pleasant place in town. And when we're not fretting and we're delighting in God, we will bring an atmosphere with us. We had a kid that was helping us clean the grout in our kitchen tile, or fake tile. He was helping us clean the grout. And he finished, and we're sitting on the porch in rocking chairs. Got these old teak wood rocking chairs. Don't get them. You can't clean them. But we're sitting in those rocking chairs. He's 18 years old. He lost his mother in February. He lost his brother in April. Came to the student prayer advance, and he got lit up. I mean, the guy got lit up. And we're sitting on the porch, and you know what he said to me? He said, "I like this." He said, "I like this." You know what he was saying? This is pleasant. This is good. This is right. We had a couple of family, they adopted a Korean child, and he was little, you know, like his, and brought him over, and he was a real card, so we were buddies with him. His father said to me, he said, "I don't know who has a better time when y'all get together, you or him, so I think I'm having a better time," so I throw him around and everything, and you know what he said one night? His name was Gabriel. He said, I like it here in our home. I like it here. You know why? Peace there. And you know what? God wants your church to have a place, be a place of respite, of peace, of pleasantness here, and we can have it if we'll deal with our fretting. Amen? So our homes, our hearts, and our church, all right? Now, the fret not formula. How many here need victory over fretting? Anybody here need a little victory over fretting? Yeah. Okay, there's always going to be stuff to deal with. But here's the formula right here, amen? So let's employ this formula here this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Let's bow before the Lord. Let's talk to Jesus about what he's talking to us about. Just, I want us to have a little season right now to talk to the Lord. If you've been fretting, cease from anger. That'd be the first thing. Deal with your anger. Commit your way to God on purpose. Trust the Lord. Put confidence in him. Depart from evil. Start doing good. Get a strategy to do people good and find your delight in the Lord. Father, this is your invitation. God, thank you for these dear people. Lord, we all face all kinds of unpleasant things and difficult things and hurtful things. Lord, we don't want to be fretting all the time. Father, thank you for giving us the formula on how to fret not. Bless your people here this morning. I want you just to talk to the Lord. From your heart this morning, from the bottom of your heart, I want you to talk to God about any fretting, simmering, glowing that's been going on and employ this formula this morning. You just talk to the Lord about your own heart this morning. Talk to the Lord about your own home. Things are blowing up. Well, just talk to the Lord about it. Be honest about it. Cease from anger. Roll your burden on the Lord. Put your confidence in God. Stop doing evil, start doing good. Find your delight in the Lord. Now, most of us this morning can relate to this business of fretting. I want you to pray for your neighbors here this morning, right here in this room. Some of them going through it. Some of them are apprehensive about this surgery coming up. Hey, let's pray for one another. Let's ask God to help the people that's going through grief and loss and hurt. Ask God to make himself known and his peace real in those that are going through turmoil and tumultuous times. Pray for one another.